Arjuna said, O my Lord Sri Krishna, you are the almighty personality of Godhead. There is no limit to your different energies. Therefore, only you are competent to instill fearlessness in the hearts of your devotees. Everyone in the flames of material miseries can find the path of liberation in you only. Please repeat after me. Arjuna said, O my Lord Sri Krishna,
O my Lord Sri Krishna,
you are the almighty personality of Godhead.
You are the almighty personality of Godhead.
There is no limit to your different energies.
There is no limit to your different energies.
Therefore, only you are competent.
Therefore, only you are competent
to instill fearlessness in the hearts of your devotees. Everyone in the flames of material misery
can find the path of liberation
in you only.
In you only.
Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Arjuna was aware of the transcendental qualities of Lord Sri Krishna as he had already experienced them during the Kurukshetra war, in which both of them are present. Therefore, Arjuna's version of Lord Krishna is authoritative. Krishna is almighty and is specially the cause of fearlessness in the devotees. A devotee of the Lord is always fearless because of the protection given by the Lord. Material existence is something like a blazing fire in the forest, which can be extinguished by the mercy of Lord Sri Krishna. The spiritual master is the mercy representative of the Lord. Therefore, a person burning in the flames of material existence may receive the rains of mercy of the Lord through the transparent medium of the self-realized spiritual master. The spiritual master, by his words, can penetrate into the heart of the suffering person and inject knowledge transcendental, which alone can extinguish the fire of material existence. So, we generally use one expression, authority, or authoritative source. And in the purport, Prabhupada has pointed out that very clearly, that what actually authoritative source means. That Prabhupada here is saying that Arjuna is the authoritative source. Why? Because Arjuna is talking about Krishna and Arjuna knows who Krishna is. Because no one knows, no one knows Krishna better than Arjuna. Because Arjuna was fighting the battle of Kurukshetra, which was a terrible, terrible war. And in that war, the Pandava side, Arjuna's side, was actually weaker. And we can well imagine how much weaker they must have been, because they were fighting, Arjuna was actually, Pandavas were fighting a war against the Kauravas, those who have been reigning, ruling over practically the whole world for at least 13 years, because they have been away for 13 years. And they were the government, we can see, that Kauravas were the government. And Pandavas, they were exiled from their kingdom for 12 years, and 1 year they had to hide themselves in different places. They were incognito for 1 year, and if anyone could recognize them in that 1 year period of time, the term of that exile would have been repeated. Another 12 years of suffering. Another 12 years of exile. So it was very, very miserable for them. For 12 years, they were practically beggars. They were living in the forest, begging from door to door. That's how they were just maintaining themselves. They had to go through so much difficulty. So we can well imagine that the contrast was so obvious. In one side, there are the Pandavas, the exiled princes, and the other side are the Kauravas, those who were the ruling government at that time. And most of the kings actually sided with the Kauravas, because it was natural for the kings to side with the ruling king. And in that war, and that's why Duryodhana was so confident. Duryodhana thought that I mean, these Pandavas, they don't stand a chance against us. We have all these big warriors. I have all the kings, all the support from everybody. And these Pandavas, they're just a bunch of five beggars, those who have been running around here and there for 12 years, and 1 year they've been hiding themselves. So how can they stand a chance against a war against us? So that's why Duryodhana was so adamant that, no, let us fight, let us have a war, and let us decide who is going to get the kingdom. I'm not going to give them anything without a fight. Because he was absolutely confident that he is going to win the war. Right? But Pandavas, although they didn't have anything material, but they had Krishna. And Arjun saw in the battlefield, because Krishna was personally driving the chariot of Arjun, and how Krishna saved them. Actually, materially, Pandavas didn't have any chance of winning the war. Materially, they didn't have any chance whatsoever. But they won the war just because Krishna was with them. And so Prabhupada is pointing out that Arjun's statements is authoritative, or Arjun's statements are authoritative, because Arjun saw Krishna, how Krishna saved them, how time and time again Krishna helped them out. So no one knew it better than Arjun. And so when Arjun says, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, Bhaktanam Abhayankara, then we must accept that statement. Arjun is saying, that Krishna, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you are the protector of your devotees. So as a devotee, we must learn from Arjun's mood or Arjun's understanding, and we also should become fearless. That is what we have to become. Like Mahabharata, which is the history of India, is a most wonderful eye-opener for the devotee. That when we take to Krishna consciousness, we don't have to worry about anything else. Even the government, why some petty government, even if the whole world goes against us, still we don't have to worry about it. If we are with Krishna, and if Krishna is with us, then we will become victorious. We don't have to worry about anything. And that is what we have to learn. And to become a devotee means to have that understanding. And the purpose behind reading the scriptures is just to have that understanding. Why do we read Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita every day? Why it's a habit? Why make it a habit of reading Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam every day? And what to talk about reading during the daytime, whenever actually our business is to read the scriptures whenever we get time. Why? So that we can develop that understanding. And ultimate understanding is that as when we surrender ourselves to Krishna, when we render service to Krishna, then we don't have to worry about anything. We don't have to worry about our enemies. We don't have to worry about Maya. We don't have to worry about where the money is going to come from. We don't have to worry about anything. All we have to do is just keep on rendering service with the absolute faith that Krishna is going to take care of us. And that's what Arjun is saying here, that Bhaktanam Abhayankara. You are the one who dispels all the fear of the devotee. Bhaktanam means of the devotee, and Abhayankara means one who removes or dispels all the fear of the devotee. So now that we have accepted Krishna consciousness, we don't have to worry about anything, any obstruction. We simply have to push on this movement. We simply have to keep on rendering service unto Krishna with the unflinching faith that Krishna is going to help us. Like in very recent past, we have seen Prabhupada. At least those who didn't see Prabhupada, at least they have seen, they have read Prabhupada's biography, Lilamrita. And at least the first and second, the Lilamrita is such a wonderful example of how Krishna comes and helps his devotees. That Prabhupada went to America without any help, no money, 70-year-old man. And he started the movement. But Prabhupada kept on pushing. Prabhupada used to say, and in Lilamrita it has been mentioned, that it was so difficult, early days, Prabhupada was struggling so much, then that Prabhupada would become very, very disappointed. And when he would become frustrated, he would go to the shipping company. And he would ask them when the next ship is coming. Because he would think that he would take the next ship and go back to India. Because he had a return ticket. So, and each time he would think that, well, let me try it for a little longer. And this way Prabhupada kept on trying. Can you imagine a 70-year-old Indian in New York City winter? No place to live practically, no security whatsoever, no money. How difficult it must have been. I mean, especially in the Western world, actually, no one wants to help anyone. And especially if you're a saintly person, people cannot relate to you. So Prabhupada was pushing on like that. And then we can see that because of Prabhupada's unflinching faith in Krishna, the ISKCON movement spread all over the world. It is because of, it's only because of Prabhupada's devotion to Krishna that this happened. Like sometimes some people just express a feeling that actually the people are actually, these people, those who bring up, come up with this kind of point, and they are Indians mostly, and many of them are actually Vaishnava, even Gauriya Vaishnava. And they make a point that actually Prabhupada didn't, it was not so much Prabhupada, it is all these Western boys, it's because of their enthusiasm and spirit that Krishna consciousness is there. But I can see that it's actually a very, very envious statement. People, those who try to minimize Prabhupada's position, they only come out with that kind of point. Because we, at least one thing we have seen, that Prabhupada built ISKCON in 10 years' time. Prabhupada established 108 temples in 10 years' time. Out of the 10 years, first year was just gone in struggling to just set up a, have a place even. 1965 was just Prabhupada struggling, 65, 66. Then 66 end, Prabhupada set up the temple in New York. Then 67, it started spreading, but 67 to 70, ISKCON's progress was not that remarkable. It's some small centers here and there. But actually, the ISKCON started to develop, ISKCON started to spread in a tremendous velocity only from 71, 72 onwards. So actually Prabhupada did practically everything has been, or more than half has been done in this last 5 years, 72 to 77. Now Prabhupada practically opened over 100 temples in the last 5 years, right? But now if we consider that Prabhupada left for 10 years, now in 10 years how many new centers we have opened? We are actually struggling, and many old temples have been closed down, right? So that shows that ISKCON developed just by Prabhupada's mercy, Prabhupada's devotion. It is Prabhupada whose spiritual potency, whose love for Krishna, forced Krishna to offer everything to him. Actually, Krishna is willing to offer everything to us. But Krishna is not offering it to us because we have to understand that we are not prepared for it. We are not ready for it. What will happen if Krishna gives us something? Just the other day we were in Zurich University. I was wondering, it's such a fantastic university, yeah, beautiful building, and I was thinking that when we'll have a temple like that, and I think Purusha said that maybe that would be a brahmachari quarters. And so we were thinking like that, but then I thought that why Krishna is not giving it to us? I mean, if the materialistic people can have so much opulence, why Krishna is not giving us? And the immediate reaction was that Krishna is not giving us because Krishna knows that we won't be able to maintain that. Like the way it happened in the past, we'll start fighting, you know, who will take which room. And then the whole society, preaching will stop and the whole society will just collapse. That's exactly what happened in Gaudiya Math. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasa, after he left, actually even during his presence, they kept on fighting about the zone, about the territories, about their villages, about their... and then ultimately, you know, about the rooms in the temple. And it's, everyone knows that how Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasa Thakur lamented that he feels like selling all these marbles from the temple, in the temple, and print books with that marble. So that is what is important, that we understand that all these are actually made for Krishna, not for ourselves. And then Krishna will give us everything. So our desire must become pure. We must understand that we are here not to enjoy at Krishna's expense, not to enjoy at the society's expense. We are here to render service unto Krishna. There is a very famous saying by John F. Kennedy after he became the president, when he was the president. He says, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. So, and that's what we have to feel also. You know. We shouldn't think what ISKCON can do for us. Instead, let us consider what we can do for ISKCON. Not what Krishna will do for us, but what we can do for Krishna. Like, that's why whenever some devotees, you know, raise the point, I'm sometimes confronted with the question, some devotees ask, what is the security in this society? What is this? What is our security for future? My immediate answer is that we are not here to seek for some security. Our biggest security is Krishna. Our biggest security is Krishna. We do not have to look for any other security. Because, I mean, what is the value of this material security? One may have millions of dollars, but is it secure? When he gets a little lump of cancer, is it secure? When there is an earthquake, is it secure? When there is a plane crash, is it secure? So who is secured in the material platform? But we are secured if we are surrendered to Krishna. Then Krishna will take care of us. So that is what is the most important understanding, that we don't depend on anything but Krishna. And Krishna can do anything and everything. Of course, that doesn't mean that we won't die. It is not that the devotees don't die, or devotees don't get old, or devotees don't get diseased. We know that we'll also someday become old, we'll also become diseased, and we'll die also. But to us, all this old age, disease and death will come in a different form. And regarding that, an example has been given, like a cat catches the mouse. And when the cat catches the mouse, then the cat's teeth are death for the mouse, right? Because the mouse knows that now it's my end, right? It's just going to squeeze my heart, life out of my heart, right? But the cat, with the same mouth, with the same teeth, the cat catches the kitten, right? And for the kitten, this is shelter. The kitten knows, oh, now I am safe. My mother is carrying me. The cat carries the kittens by catching them in the mouth. You must have seen that. So that is the difference. Like, it's not that we won't die. It is not that death will not approach us. Death will also come to us. But to us, death will be welcoming relief from the material bondage and an approach to Krishna. Whereas to a non-believer, to an atheistic person who doesn't accept Krishna, for him death is the end of everything. Death will come to steal everything away from him, take everything, snatch everything away from him. His family, his wealth, his opulence, his friends, even his body is snatched away from him. That's by death. But to a devotee, death comes as a welcoming relief. Oh, now is the time to go back to Krishna. And now is the time to become totally free from all material bondage. Now Krishna has made such wonderful arrangement. That's how a devotee looks at it. That has been described about Dhruva Maharaj also. Like when death also approached Dhruva Maharaj. Death came to Dhruva Maharaj. But what did Dhruva Maharaj do? Dhruva Maharaj just stepped onto the head of death to climb onto the chariot. That is how the devotee looks at it. That is how death comes to a devotee. And the death was happy. He said, "My Lord, you are so merciful that you stepped on my head." So that is how we have to understand. And Krishna actually makes everything very wonderful. Like death will come in right time when we are ready. Then death will come and we will see that death is actually not very painful. When we are ready, when we become pure in our devotion to Krishna, then when death comes, it becomes actually a very welcoming relief. Then death is not painful at all. And nature makes the arrangement. Our body becomes gradually old, or by disease, the body becomes old. Body, our attachment to the body is reduced. And then it becomes easy. Like we notice, I'm sure everyone feels that way, all the devotees feel that way. That when you get some kind of fever or disease, we are just bedridden for 3, 4, 5 days, and we become so much detached, right? Then the body does not really register the pain so much, and we feel like once I had a very high fever, I had a joint attack of typhoid and jaundice in 1981. It was very very. Some devotees thought actually, whoever was there, they thought that I was going to leave my body. But I was feeling very, very peaceful. I was thinking, well, if I have to leave my body now, it's fine. What's the big deal? And another experience I had recently, I smashed my fingernail, and it became, first few days it hurt a little. And then the thing became bad. And became all black. And then gradually the nail grew, and then finally the nail fell off. The nail, the bad part, you know, grew out. It took me about 2 months for the nail to grow fully. And I was thinking that's how also our death will come to us. Like our body actually will grow out, the spirit will grow out of the body, and ultimately just leave the body the way the nail fell off on its own. So the same way the spirit will leave the body, the body will fall off on its own, and the spirit will leave the body. So we can have such clear understanding only when you are Krishna conscious. Otherwise, a person who is not Krishna conscious, who is not a devotee of Krishna, who is not surrendered to Krishna, he cannot be so painful, so peaceful. That is our saving grace, that is our good fortune, that we have become devotees of Krishna. And at least we are becoming gradually detached from all these material attachments. So, another point Prabhupada made here very nicely is that Prabhupada is pointing out that it's only by Krishna's mercy that this forest fire, the blazing forest fire that we are constantly suffering from, is extinguished. And the first manifestation of that mercy is through the spiritual master. It is Krishna shows us his mercy in various ways. But when we take to Krishna consciousness, then Krishna actually helps us through the spiritual master. And who is the spiritual master? And what is the qualification of a spiritual master? Is that he is a representative of Krishna. He is an agent of Krishna. He comes as Krishna's representative, and he claims different living entities to go back to take them back to Krishna. Krishna personally doesn't come all the time. Or another way to look at it is that we are not actually qualified to see Krishna face to face. Although Krishna is there, Krishna is sitting in our hearts, and Krishna wants us, Krishna is giving us instructions all the time, but we don't really listen to Krishna's instructions. Because we are so much material, our concept is so material, that we cannot understand the instructions of Krishna from the heart. So that's why we need some kind of material manifestation. And that's why Krishna, who is sitting in our heart, when he sees that we are willing to go back to him, then Krishna actually gives us the help. The moment we turn our face towards Krishna, who is sitting in our heart, then Krishna favors us by a bona fide spiritual master. And the bona fide spiritual master simply conveys Krishna's message, Krishna's instructions to us. And that's the qualification of a bona fide spiritual master. He does not concoct something on his own. He simply repeats Krishna's instructions. Like Prabhupada says that the qualification of a bona fide spiritual master is he repeats Krishna's words as it is. Like Krishna says, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam saranam braja. And the bona fide spiritual master comes and says, give up all your nonsense activities and just surrender unto Krishna. So it's the same instruction. Krishna's instruction is repeated by the spiritual master. And if we accept that instruction, then we become qualified to approach Krishna. And then gradually, as we make advancement, then we can see, then we can hear the instruction of Krishna from the heart. In the beginning, he gives the instructions from outside as the spiritual master, and sometimes the spiritual master becomes unmanifest. By Krishna's mercy, the spiritual master became manifest. And then, by Krishna's desire also, the spiritual master becomes unmanifest. Like, for us, Prabhupada has become unmanifest. Now we cannot get the direct instruction from Prabhupada. But Prabhupada gave the instructions in his books, and also when he attains certain degree of development in Krishna consciousness, then we can also get the instructions from inside. As Chaitta Guru, as the spiritual master in the heart, Krishna, the super soul, gives us instructions. So that is one stage of advancement. Like, I used to feel very bad when Prabhupada left, because my spiritual life was simply centered around Prabhupada. I joined and Prabhupada just picked me up and allowed me to be with him all the time, and I was rendering service to him, and so all the time I was with him, so my whole life, the whole practically 24 hours was just obsessed with Prabhupada. And then all of a sudden one day Prabhupada was gone. Prabhupada was not there. And it was very painful. But then I realized that actually Prabhupada is there in his books, and now Prabhupada wants me to follow him, follow his instructions. And now is the time to show how much I love Prabhupada by following his instructions. So that is how the spiritual master makes arrangements for us to make advancement in spiritual life. Like Krishna sends the spiritual master, then Krishna takes the spiritual master away. And regarding that, out of that realization in 1981, Prabhupada's Vyaspuja book, they wanted me to write the introduction to Vyaspuja book. And there I gave an example that Prabhupada's disappearance is like sometimes the mother teaches the child how to walk, and mother helps the child to walk by holding his hand. Then when the child is little steady in his legs, then the mother hides behind the curtain. And the child, just in order to search for the mother, he begins to walk. He forgets that he doesn't doubt that he can walk or not. But he becomes so obsessed with searching for his mother that he just begins to walk normally. And I gave that example that Prabhupada, when we are immature, when we are just unsteady in our spiritual life, Prabhupada held us by our hand and he taught us how to walk on the spiritual platform. And then at one point of time, Prabhupada just disappeared. It's not that Prabhupada just gone away, but Prabhupada is hiding behind the curtain. They're hiding beyond our material vision. And Prabhupada is now being urged by that desire to go to Prabhupada. We have to tread the path of spiritual life. That forgetting everything, we just have to cry out, we have to simply go to Prabhupada. And that is how we'll begin to walk. And if we do that, then someday we'll find ourselves in the spiritual sky. Because if we are searching for Prabhupada, where Prabhupada is in the spiritual sky. Prabhupada is with Krishna. So if we develop that desire to be with, to go to Prabhupada, then one day we'll just find ourselves in the spiritual sky, just by that desire. And Prabhupada is instructing us through his books. It's not that Prabhupada is gone. Like when we read the books, we can see how much Prabhupada is there in this book. And then also Prabhupada will instruct us from our hearts as the Chaitanya Guru. And if we follow those instructions, then without any difficulty we'll reach the spiritual sky. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any question?
What means to be clinically in death?
Clinically death is when the body does not show any symptom of life. Like there are a few symptoms of life. One is the breathing, one is the heartbeat, the other is the temperature of the body. So when all these symptoms are not there, then that is clinical. And the medically they admit that now this man...
Well, actually the soul has left.
Well, these things happen when the soul left, actually. When the soul leaves, then the heart, all of a sudden the heart stops beating. The breathing stops. Like the things that we have been doing for without even noticing it, right, for years together, now all of a sudden, just stops.